All right, good afternoon.
Zach Ertz in the concussion protocol?
Yes.
Is he able to be out here for the week, or did he have to go back to Philly?
No, he can be here for the week, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Doug, you talked last night about, and one of the players mentioned that you didn't think it was a great week of practice. What can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, you know, we obviously we pride ourselves in our work and getting our work done during the week, and I feel strongly about, you know, you win games during the week, and sometimes sometimes things come up, and as a coach, you're always maybe a little more nervous than you should be the way we practice, I just think that the way probably the last couple of weeks, what you saw probably previously to the last 2 weeks, you didn't see the penalties, you didn't see the turnovers, you didn't see some of the negative things that have been going on, and to me that's a direct correlation to how we practice during the week. So that's what I mean by that, we got to get that erased this week.
Talk to the coaches and the guys responsible for the review as to the protocol and what exactly went wrong in not challenging, telling you to challenge.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. When you say what went wrong, what went wrong?
Well, do you think that was an illegal forward pass?
Well, like I said last night, watching it live and then the information that I was gathered and getting. It was, and I'd already used a challenge in that quarter, and the risk of losing a timeout in those situations. I didn't feel it was at the right time for me to make that decision to challenge it again.
But how about the upside of getting the play overturned and them having the punt in that situation?
Well, now we're playing the hypothetical. If you throw it, I mean, yeah, it's sort of 50-50. It's kind of like, the third down call that I challenged, that we felt like we had a clear and it was, cut and dried that we were past the line to gain, and we didn't get that. Then I got another play later in the game that was out of my control from a review standpoint that we didn't get, and now this was the third one we didn't get. So, things just didn't stack up great for us at that time, and I didn't want to risk another timeout.
Is that all a gut feel, or you go into a game thinking that if we're in this kind of situation and we've already lost one challenge, we don't want to give up the timeout? Do you go through those like hypothetical situations before?
Well, those aren't hypothetical. Those are real. I mean, those are real-time decisions. There's nothing hypothetical about giving up a timeout. I either throw it or I don't, and so I have to make a real-time decision. I don't get the luxury of the television bringing out protractors and straight rulers and drawing lines like I guess they did and saying, oh, yeah, this is probably a forward pass. I don't get that luxury. I got to make it within 10 to 15 seconds of them running the next play. So at that time, I didn't feel like it was necessary to challenge it when we all felt like it wasn't going to be in our favor.
Who's watching that in the booth?
John Ferrari's up there with me, and Ryan Pagnetti's up there, so I got a couple of guys that are monitoring those situations for us.
And so it's direct communication. They're saying either challenge or don't challenge.
Yeah, we're getting whatever feed we can get. We, of course, on the sideline, we don't get the luxury of replay. The big screen in the stadium doesn't hold any water for us, and yet sometimes you're only given what the network can give you at the time. So that's been our protocol. It's been a really good protocol for us this whole season.
Do you generally go strictly upon what they say, or do you ever say, I'm going to roll the dice here on my gut?
Yeah, there's times I might see something differently, just in real time on the field, without the replay, and go ahead and challenge it. We haven't had too many challenges this season, but there are times. It's like, anything that comes up in a game. Sometimes you get a better view just being down on the field.
Doug, on the fourth and one in the first quarter, the explanation last night was it was early in the game, so you didn't want to.
Oh, the one around midfield there.
Yeah, when you're on 41.
Yeah, 41.
There was actually an exact same situation against the Giants earlier this year. First quarter, your own 47. Fourth and one, you went for it. It wound up being like a 18-play touchdown drive. I'm just curious, what's the thinking in going for it in that game, but then not going for it against.
Well, I didn't necessarily recall the Giants game when I made that decision last night to punt. So I just wanted to make sure we flipped the field. It was early in the football game, and obviously made the choice and lived with it and punted the football.
Doug, you've talked before about with Carson running the ball and not sliding. There's a risk reward there, and you don't want to take away that aggressiveness. How do you approach when reviewing that play with in which he fumbled with him? What's the teaching lesson there for Carson?
Well, when you look at the play, obviously he was stretching and diving towards the end zone, towards the goal line, and in traffic, we're always teaching about two hands on the football, and Seattle is a defense that strips the ball extremely well, and we knew that going into the football game, we got to coach that better. We just got to, teach all our runners, quarterbacks included, that when you're in traffic, you have to cover it up because of the style of defense that they play and the techniques that they use. So we just got to keep talking to our players about it. It's unfortunate that it happened, because it felt like if it didn't, he was either going to score or we were going to score on the next play.
On the fourth down before halftime, what was the math or the analytics kind of telling you there, and did you use that, or was that just a gut call to punt there?
Yeah, the gut call for me was just I wanted to line up and try to see if we couldn't get a free play with Cadence. It's a play that we work on each week, and then knowing that we were going to get the ball to start the second half, punt the football there as well. If you turn the ball over on fourth down with maybe 15, 14 seconds, you give Seattle a chance to, with a couple timeouts to get 3 points, and I didn't want that to happen either.
Earlier in the season, we asked you a lot about the fourth down decisions and kind of this organizational philosophy of being aggressive. Has any of that changed, or you've learned you're doing anything differently, or is your philosophy the same as it was in week one?
Philosophy is still the same. I believe we're 12 for 12 on QB sneaks this year on fourth downs, third and fourth downs. So that's been a very positive thing for us, and we're going to continue to stay aggressive. Outside of the normal fourth down situations, especially at the end of the game, where you have to kind of go for things when you're down two scores, things of that nature. The mindset's always going to stay aggressive. You have to stay aggressive, especially in ball games like that.
Wentz came up wincing after one of those Frank Clark hits. Do you know what he was dealing with there?
I don't. I did see it. Not sure exactly. We didn't talk about anything specific on the sideline about it. Might be something you either ask him or maybe Frank, later in the week. Carson, fine. Yeah, he's good.
Doug,
I talked to him on a plane last night. He was fine.
What are the challenges of getting back on track, in a different work setting for the week? You've tried to keep the times about the same on the East Coast. What are the challenges there in getting in sync?
Yeah, as far as the times go, I did that for the Seattle trip, obviously, because we came out on Saturday, so I wanted to make sure that the times were as close to East Coast times. Now we're on West Coast for the rest of the week, and the challenge is just we're trying to eliminate distractions. We're trying to make sure it's hard when you got back to back these West Coast trips like this to be able to fly back home and practice and then come back out this way at the end of the week. So try to keep the week as normal as possible for the guys, for the coaches. We got a great setup here in the hotel. Coaches have offices and workspace to get the work done. Players are got everything they need right here from treatment, rehab, doctors, medical facilities, all of that. So we had a when we set this trip, there was an advanced team that put all this together for us. They've done a great job, and just looking forward to the week.
You kind of knew everything would be a dry run, though, right? Obviously, you're doing everything.
Yeah, it's all kind of a dry run. First time. We've never really done this before, obviously. But it'll definitely pay off for us, hopefully, in the near future.
When it comes to what you saw at practice over the last couple of weeks, do you attribute that to overconfidence? What would you attribute to the fact that it was kind of not?
Yeah, I think sometimes, I've talked about this before. Winning can kind of cover up or mask some things, some deficiencies, in your little chink in your armor, if there is any, and coaches and players fall into the same boat sometimes, we need games where we get hit in the mouth and we. You know, we have to fight and battle and scratch. And yesterday's game was one of those games. And you just have to understand that, you know, the preparation, there's no substitute for the preparation, the hard work. You can't substitute that. And the guys have to know that. And it's my job to make sure that they understand that and how we prepare and how we coach and hold everybody accountable. And when I start seeing the same mistakes in ball games that you kind of see during the week, we just got to get back to the grind, not to say the grind, but we just got to get back to just focusing in on all our jobs and owning that.
In that situation as coaches, do you change anything what you do during practice, or do you hope that the loss kind of does that for you?
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in just changing things to change. I feel like you got to continue with the same structure, but I think the messaging can change how I address the football team and sort of bring to light the fact that, listen, we're 10-2, still a good football team, and everything is in our control, and that's the beauty of this whole thing is everything is still right in front of us, and we just have to embrace that and understand that and prepare like we have and get ready for the Rams on Sunday.
I'm watching the film. What went wrong with the one throw that Carson made to Nelson early that went that sailed over his head?
Yeah, it just high. Had a pretty clean pocket. I just the ball just sailed high. I don't know if he misjudged the depth of it, but it's unfortunate that we missed that one.
You saw that occasionally last year when balls would sail on him. And typically it's happened when he's actually had time in the pocket, in a clean pocket, and it's been a little further down the field. Is that in relation in some way to the mechanical issues that he had been working on this offseason?
No, not at all. Sometimes as quarterbacks, you just miss. And those are things that we continue to coach up. And Carson's hard on himself. He'll work on it this week, and he won't miss next time.
Talk about adjusting the messaging to the team. What do you draw on when you try to adjust that? Obviously, it's a different kind of week this week than coming off, nine straight wins.
Yeah. It's, obviously got to keep him kind of dialed in because the week is different. We got to eliminate the distractions of traveling to practice and we're in a hotel and things aren't quite as simple, let's say, as if we're back in Philadelphia. And then just the two, the part of the game, again, we're facing a playoff caliber football team this Sunday, good in all three phases. Offense is obviously very explosive and playing well. And I've got to bring everybody kind of full circle back to that and focus on that during the week.
The other throw to Aguilar, it was actually a completion for like 30-something yards. He was unhappy with that throw because he wasn't able to maximize his yards after the catch. How hard is it as a quarterback to kind of...
Carson?
Carson was mad at himself for not putting Nelson in position to get yards after the catch.
Okay.
Because he said he was extremely wide open, so he just wanted to get it to him. How difficult as a quarterback is it to kind of train yourself not to do that and still make
it? It's the hardest thing to do because, as goes back to your question, when you overshoot the first one, the next time he's wide open, you just want to you almost guide the ball just a little bit and you want to just put it on him. And it just so happened that we were able to complete that pass. Yeah, would you like to see more yards or a little bit higher? Yeah, but, fact of the matter was it was a great play by those two guys. And listen, they we're going to make those plays more often than not as we go forward.
Is Sidney Jones going to practice this week?
Sidney? No. Still rehabbing and doing his thing.
Looking over the tape as you were, did you think maybe you could have done some of the things in the second half? Some of the things you did in the second half, could you have done them in the first half? Could you have been a little more aggressive against their secondary?
Well, you look at it, we overshot Nelson a couple of times, the one time in the first half. We had other opportunities down the field, elected to go other places. So I look back on could I have been? Yeah, maybe a play or two here and there. But, they were also getting off on the snap count relatively well. They were hitting our quarterback. The noise was a little bit of a factor early on. So you got to factor in some of that, especially early in football games on the road. And that's why there in that second quarter, end of the first, second, the run game sort of took off for us a little bit. But, we had the penalty, down inside the five that nullified a touchdown drive, gave us 3 points, and we just can't do that kind of stuff, you know, and expect to win on the road.
Early in the game when Carson slid and took, and there was a late hit on him, and later on Shelton Richardson knocked the ball loose from Carson and said that they had noticed that he likes to extend plays and get extra yards by not sliding. Do you get the sense moving forward that this is something that teams are going to kind of key on, and the fact that he doesn't slide, that they're going to come at him a little more and they're going to be a little more aggressive in terms of hitting him?
Well, it's I mean, you know, for them to notice that, I mean, that's a credit obviously to the defense, but at the same time, you know, Carson understands that too, and that's the fine line that you got to be careful of taking the aggression away from your quarterback and any player that you have, but in this case Carson, because I don't ever want to do that, you know, but at the same time, we got to continue to educate and talk to him about sliding, protecting himself, getting down, all of that, the longevity of the season and his well-being. So it's a fine line, but, you know, we'll just continue to talk to him about those issues.
A lot's happened since Saturday, but you did sign Alshon to a contract extension. Why was that important?
Well, for a lot of reasons. One, you know, you go back to the offseason, he was one of the guys we targeted in free agency and wanted him in here and got him in here and then watching him work and he and Carson getting more and more comfortable with each other, and then just having these guys around Carson for many years to come, I think is so important for the progression of the offense, but also the progress and the success that those two can have, you know, much like Carson and Zach. I mean, these three guys can really now begin to not only the remainder of this season, but even going forward, you look into the off season where they can get together and start throwing and working and really kind of dialing it in, and that's exciting for Alshon to be in a spot that he can call home for the next few years, and then you know, we've got him and they can really start growing together.
As far as the timing, does this help him in the final month of the season, knowing that free agency is not long?
Yeah, because I think it's a little pressure, a little thank you, you know, I mean, off your back a little bit. I mean, that's just it just goes without saying. But I think it's great for Alshon. We're excited for him, obviously, and you know, anytime a player can sign and stay somewhere, you know, for multiple years, I think it's a credit not only to his play, but, you know, to the confidence in the organization for extending that.
Doug, from last year to this year, is Nelson your most dramatically improved player?
Yes. Yeah, I do agree with that. I do. He had a great game last night. The way he's prepared himself in the offseason, OTAs, all the way through camp, he's definitely would get my vote for most improved, yes.
Thanks.